Welcome back to Beyond Classified. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Étienne de la Boétie Squared. He's author of the book Understanding Our Slavery and founder of the Art of Liberty Foundation, which exposes the illegitimacy and criminality of government and the hidden curriculum of organized crime's mandatory government schools, scouting systems, and police and military training. Étienne, welcome back. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. And as an update, we have rebranded and expanded the book Understanding Our Slavery. It is now called Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed. Now in our fourth edition and something like the 22nd or 23rd printing. We cannot keep it in stock. We just sold out again today. I've got 600 more copies that are, you know, like en route. And it's really, really, it's really taken off. So I've been very, very busy.
That's awesome. We were talking about this before. You know, it's been a while since you've been on the show and so much has happened. But one thing that happened that's a good thing is that because of all the attempts to completely destroy our sovereignty and freedom, so many more people are seeing the criminality of government, the illegitimacy, and what's going on behind the scenes. I really want to start with what were some of the most like profound events that stuck out. Let's start with 2020, because that was the year that conspiracy came reality, you know?
Well, yeah, if I tell you, if it's okay, I'd just like to give the audience just kind of a brief background on myself and just so they understand.
Yeah, it's been a while since you've been on. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, where I'm coming from. And so I'm, like I said, I'm the author of this book, Government, the Biggest Scam in History. And the thesis of the book is that government was never intended to protect life, liberty, and property. It is a technique of what I call intergenerational organized crime, you know, taking that all the way back to monarchy as being the original organized crime. You're going to give us your money or we're going to hurt you. And when that fell out of favor, monarchy developed democracy to kind of trick the population into thinking that they're in charge, but always controlling the outcomes of the elections through a disparity of campaign, funds and control of the media and the fact that they're willing to rig elections and cheat because they're organized crime. And they trick the population into handing over half of their income in either covert taxes, overt taxes, or inflation, thinking it's legitimate that because some people get tricked into voting in these rigged elections, that now they've got that it's legitimate that the government gets to take their money. It's legitimate that the government gets to boss them around and tell them, you know, whatever they want. And so I come at it from the standpoint of a voluntarist, and a voluntarist is someone that believes that all relationships should be voluntary, that that nobody gets to use violence or extortion on anybody else, that the government doesn't have a exemption from morality, and that all governments are illegitimate on their face, whether they're communism, whether it's socialism, whether it's, you know, constitutional republicanism, because it is impossible morally or logically to delegate rights that you don't have yourself to a representative or a government to represent you doing something you don't have the ability to do yourself. So if the right to rob and control society didn't come from we the people, because we the people can't delegate rights they don't have themselves to a government to exercise on their behalf, and because, you know, nobody can be bound by a social contract that they didn't sign. And if me and my fiance can't vote to rob Chris because there's two of us and one of him, it doesn't matter if there's five of us or 250 million people. You can't take something that was inherently immoral and make it moral just because the majority wants to. And so government has been the biggest scam in history, and they get away with it because it's the government and the media working together. So the subtitle of the book is How Intergenerational Organized Crime Runs the Government and the Media. And in the book, I expose how the government and the media have been working together since the quote unquote founding of the country to convince the population that it is legitimate that they get ruled and controlled, and it is legitimate that, you know, government is legitimate because it's on every single channel, right? I mean, if it wasn't legitimate, how could it be on every single channel? And what I do in the book is using media ownership charts and media organization charts show how there's, you know, small in the old media side, there's a small handful of monopoly corporate media outlets that are running hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to make everybody think there's all these different information sources in society. And that's the old media side. On the new media side, there's about 2 to 3 dozen, what I like to call DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency front companies. That's the folks that invented the internet. They've had the internet way before we had the internet. And by the time they released the internet to the public, they'd already figured out what search engines and video sharing sites and comment sites and information sources that they needed to control to widely control perception, you know, on the internet. And so, I break it all down in the book, and I do it in a really compelling visual way because most people are visual learners. And so the book is designed to wake up your friends and your family and your relatives. And if you've ever tried to kind of explain these concepts to them, you know, they may or may not believe you. But, you know, if they can see the media ownership charts and the organizational charts with their own eyes, then all of a sudden, oh, you know, that's how they're selling COVID on every single channel. I didn't realize that all of these dozens and dozens of ostensibly independent media companies are all connected through the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, which are three organizations that also Jeffrey Epstein was a member of. So in addition to controlling the population by controlling the information we receive, you know, we'll run what's known in Washington, D.C. as a brownstone operation, where we'll take politicians and prominent individuals and even royalty, and, you know, we'll get them drunk and slip them a roofie and throw them into a room with a little boy or a little girl and take photographs and blackmail them, because it's murder incorporated, intergenerational organized crime, and they'll wage wars based on lies and manufactured evidence, and they'll do whatever it takes to stay in power, even if they have to spend, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars using this monopoly media system to make everybody think there's a pandemic when there's obviously not a pandemic. I went into the hospitals in, you know, April and May of 2020 in the epicenter of COVID in California, and we found empty tents and empty waiting rooms and hospital employees that are openly speculating that the whole thing was a hoax. That was in Santa Clara. We also went into Dominican Hospital in Santa Cruz, California. We found the exact same thing, empty tents flapping in the wind, you know, and empty waiting rooms. And the next day after our videos went viral in the community, they took it down and quit pretending that there was going to be this overflow rush of pandemic people, et cetera. And so what have they been doing? They've been handing trillions of dollars to private banks and private companies. It's been a bank robbery to a certain degree, where we're going to spend hundreds of billions with our monopoly media system to make it look like there's a pandemic so that we can hand out trillions of dollars to private banks, private companies through the bailouts and the stimulus, while the people get chicken feed stimulus checks that are going to be eaten up by the inflation that creating trillions of dollars out of thin air is already starting to appear in the supply chain and the food chain. That's why you're seeing prices go up. That's why you're seeing supply shortages. It's because they've created trillions of dollars, even though it's inflationary, even though it's stealing the value out of everybody's money. And so we can talk about more of that, but I just wanted to kind of give the audience a little bit of overview of who I am and where I'm coming from. And the good news, the final thing I'll say, the good news message is that we don't need government. It is the biggest secret that is kept from the American people and the global population, is that people do not need government. Every single thing the government does, except for redistribution. You cannot rob Peter to pay Paul. It's immoral. It doesn't work. It always leads to bloodshed and communism and, you know, people getting shot in the back of the head. And so besides redistribution, whether it's roads or whether it's the police or whether it's dispute resolution that they call courts or whether it's air traffic control, every single thing the government does could be done and should be done by private companies, by nonprofits, by mutual aid societies, by real charity. The world is a self-organizing system that produces spontaneous order. And whatever it is that you want government to do, I can assure you, and we make the case in the book, backed up by a flash drive full of, you know, documentaries and short videos that will explain the market mechanisms that ensure that what you want government to do would still be done, and it would be done better, faster, cheaper, and everybody would be dramatically, dramatically wealthier if there wasn't a government. Everybody would be dramatically wealthier if they just weren't stealing the value out of the money. And that's really, you know, that's really the biggest con. That's what allows them to buy up and control the media. It's, we're going to give private banks the ability to create money out of thin air using fractional reserve banking. And the way the scam works is when you go into a bank to get a loan or a mortgage, they're not giving you depositor money. They just tickle the ivories on the keyboard and they credit your account with these digital dollars, even though that process is inflationary and stealing the value out of everybody else's money. So when the government allows banks to create money out of thin air, or when the government does, or the Federal Reserve does quantitative easing, or when they create trillions of dollars in bailouts and stimulus, now you've got this flood of money that's in the system and it begins bidding up the prices of goods and services. And so it's not that the value of your house or your portfolio is going up. It now takes more rapidly depreciating fiat paper tickets to buy the exact same amount of housing and the exact same amount of stock. And so we're getting robbed in a way that most people don't really understand because they're using this financial chicanery. But you're being robbed the exact same way as if they just stuck your Wall Street and the government just stuck your hand in their hand in your pocket and stole the money. They're just doing it in this really tricky way.
Now, I want to talk more in a minute about how we can get to the point where we can just replace our government. But first, when it comes to the whole COVID agenda, it seems like it's falling apart right now. We're talking about this earlier. People are seeing through the bullshit, realizing a lot of the things that they've been lied about for a long time and coming together more. And I think the more that happens, the more this COVID agenda is going to fall apart. I mean, we got the Fauci emails that came out. People are seeing a little bit more there. We've had so much that they've blundered up through this whole thing. I don't see it being able to sustain this operation that they've got going on for too much longer. Maybe they have to do something else. I don't know. Do you see them keeping on with this COVID, or do you think that we can kind of, as a collective, just stop it by, you know, keeping on talking about it and realizing and waking more people up?
Yeah. I don't think that they could hide the fact that the hospitals were empty. They couldn't hide the fact that the death rate is really the exact same death rate as the usual and customary elderly deaths and seasonal influenzas and pneumonias, accelerated by putting people on ventilators, accelerated by, you know, keeping people in constant fear, accelerated by keeping the elderly away from their loved ones to where they become depressed and suicidal and just want to die, whatever. But for the most part, we're dealing with a quote unquote pandemic that has a 99.97%+ survival rate, even higher if you're under 50 years old. And so I don't think that, but now they've got everybody taking these quote unquote vaccines, and who knows what's in the vaccine. I'm way more worried about what's in, these vaccines made by companies that are known felons, that are convicted felons, okay, being pushed by this monopoly media system. And so what I try and do is I try and expose the way the magician does the trick on the monopoly media side and the algorithmic censorship of the internet, because once people realize that there's a man behind the curtain in the monopoly media and they understand how all of the reporters and the editors and the publishers are connected through these organizations that are giving them their marching orders, then, you know, once you realize how the magician does the trick, it's a lot harder to do the trick. Now, we did a detailed study of the an investigation into the COVID in May of 2020. And we came to the conclusion that the COVID was not just the engineered reason to hand trillions of dollars to private banks and private companies. They're getting a whole bunch of things whenever they run one of these psychological operations. They're getting a whole bunch of different, you know, desired outcomes. It's not just for one single reason that they did the COVID, but our thesis is that their treasury market Ponzi scheme was falling apart. And so for those that aren't familiar with how the organized crime government does business and how it funds all of these unneeded weapon systems and wars that we don't need based on lies and manufactured intelligence so that they can take the money and slide it out the back door to the, to, you know, military industrial complex companies for weapons, for trillions of dollars worth of weapon systems that they don't need. That's a lot of how the theft of government works, is we're going to take the money and we're going to spend it on stuff that you don't need at ridiculously, ridiculously inflated prices. And the companies are going to kick back some of the profits in campaign contributions and lobbying and, you know, just, you know, bags of money, you know, under the table. And so this is, you know, when you, I call it organized crime theory. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm an organized crime researcher. And we're being robbed to the tune of trillions of dollars. Now, when you're stealing trillions of dollars, you know, what do you call the couple hundred billion a year you spend to control the media? It's the marketing budget. It's the advertising budget that justifies the theft of the trillion dollars for the phantom menaces of terrorists, you know, that are out to get us, or wars based on these lies and manufactured intelligence that we know are lies. I mean, there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. There was no, you know, there were no baby Kuwaiti babies tossed out of incubators. You know, anybody that's read the Downing Street memo knows that the government was already planning to go into Iraq, and they told the British Prime Minister that the intelligence would be fixed around that objective. And so if you're not familiar with the Downing Street memo, I'm sure you can find it on a search engine that is not CIA Google. And when I say CIA Google, like I said, we back up everything in the book with either an 8 gig or a 16 gigabit flash drive, including an article that is entitled How the CIA Created Google. And it breaks down the specific DARPA programs, the Highland forums that Google came out of, and they were doing search and they had the internet way before we had the internet, and they understood the power of being able to control perception on a very, very wide scale. And so, you know, Google was funded with unlimited capital to be able to become indispensable and was given, you know, military keyhole satellite technology to create Google Maps and Google, you know, and all these different apps and free Gmail, and we'll give you unlimited free email and unlimited storage so they can algorithmically censor the email that comes into your email box. They can algorithmically censor the results of what you're searching for. They can steer quote unquote Google News to a small handful of, you know, their cartel companies to be able to control perception on what I like to call the DARPA internet. And so it's a robbery. We've been getting robbed. And part of that robbery was the government was borrowing back in early 2020 over $1.1 trillion a year by selling treasury bonds, bills, and notes. And the difference is how long the duration is. Do you get paid back in 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, et cetera, of whether it's a bond, bill, or a note. And I don't think that they were able to legitimately fund the deficit anymore to a point where the dollar Ponzi scheme was going to collapse. And the evidence for this is in December of 2019, in January of 2020, in February of 2020, the Fed began getting essentially caught doing something that is illegal under the Federal Reserve Act, and that is buying treasuries at the treasury auctions. Now, they weren't technically buying treasuries at the treasury auction. What they were doing is the primary dealers are, there's around 24 banks. It's the JP Morgans, it's the Goldman Sachs's, it's the Citigroups, etc. They make money selling the government's debt. And so what they were doing is at the auction, the primary dealers were buying the treasuries because it would be illegal if the Fed did it. They were sitting on them for a day or so, and then they were selling them to the Fed 2 days later. And so they began getting caught because every single bond bill or note has a CUSIP number attached to it. And those CUSIP numbers, you know, go into a database and you can see who's bought the bond and where the bond, you know, who owns all of the, you know, the treasury securities. And so financial industry websites like chrismartinson.com and zerohedge.com began reporting that the Fed was buying treasuries 1 to 2 days after the auction. So people weren't coming to the auctions. Now, I don't think that this took the government by surprise or Wall Street by surprise or the Federal Reserve by surprise or the Treasury by surprise. They knew that there would be a day when their Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme was going to fall apart. And so they needed to have an engineered reason for the Fed to begin intervening in the Treasury market. And if that reason also happens to give them the ability to hand trillions of dollars and bailout and stimulus to their friends and co-conspirators on Wall Street, well, all the better. But soon after the COVID hit, what did the Fed do? The Fed stepped in and began under emergency authorization, because who could have foreseen this act of God? And you see, Chris, there was a wet market in China and a bat bit a human. And then now the Fed gets to participate in the treasury market, even though it's illegal under the Federal Reserve Act. And so the Fed in, I want to say, I think it started in May, began buying up to 80 billion a day in the treasury market. By June, July, that had stabilized to about 80 billion a month. But the Fed now began openly participating in the treasury market. And so this is what I believe the reason for spending the hundreds of billions to create the illusion that there's this pandemic and there's people dropping dead, overflowing, even though they're not. And so, you know, we're going to use this monopoly media system to convince the population that there's a pandemic. You know, we're going to engineer people in a couple of hospitals in New York City, Queens. And even though they, you know, it was the New York Times and, you know, the New York Times famously did a video, you know, report showing a female doctor breathlessly talking about how there's no ventilators and they're, and showing like lines, you know, out the door of the hospital, except before the video news story had been up for a single day, the head of the hospital contacted them and forced them to put a disclaimer on the video that same day saying that's not true. They were never out of ventilators. And independent media journalists went to the hospital the next day and the lines are gone. There's no lines. But because the mainstream corporate prostitute media didn't tell people that, unless you're getting your news from the authentic voices of the alternative media on the self-directed internet, you never saw that information, because control of perception is the name of the game. Can we get the population to believe that government is legitimate? Can we get the population to believe that it's legitimate that we get ruled by Washington, D.C.? Can we get the population to believe there's a pandemic going on, even if there isn't? Can we get the population to take an experimental gene therapy made by companies that are convicted of, are known felons, convicted felons, where they have absolutely no liability if you get hurt or sick for a quote unquote disease that the government admits has a 99.97 survival rate. Well, if you don't understand how the big game is played, they can get you to believe about anything. And so what I'm about is exposing how the magician does the trick, because like I said, once you realize how he does the trick, it's a lot harder to get fooled by the trick.
Now, when it comes to a replacement for government, I want to talk about how we could possibly get there. Whenever you talk about these things, majority of people see it as such a daunting task because it's, government too big to fail. How are we going to take on the government? What would be the first step that we would take to do this?
Well, first of all, you've got to educate yourself and you've got to really understand the way that free markets work and the capital creation mechanisms and what spontaneous order is. And if you really think about it, the government is just a provider of services, and it's not a very, very good provider. And so because everybody wants to be safe and secure in their homes against robbers and rapists and murderers, okay, there is a demand for what we'll call armed protective services. But it's not the monopoly police that you call. It would be ADT and Brinks and Westech, which are just three examples of private security companies that provide armed protective services for their clients today. And you'd probably pay $50 a month and it would probably come with an alarm system. But when your security guard shows up, he doesn't have rights that you don't have, okay? Because you have the moral, legitimate right to protect your life, liberty, and property, you can actually delegate that right to a security company to exercise that right on your behalf while you're not home, or if somebody comes over to threaten you, or whatever it is, because that's a right you possess. Now, because you don't have the right to tell your neighbor what kind of habit to have or whether or not he should be gambling or, whether he should wear his seatbelt, when your security guard shows up, he can't look over at your neighbor's through your neighbor's open, window and notice that he's having a poker game and kick in the door and steal everybody's money out of, using asset forfeiture like happens all the time in America, where our supposed protectors are robbing us at the point of a gun and using extortion on overwhelmingly peaceful people for things that are not really crimes. So there's still going to be armed protective services. There's still going to be dispute resolution. You're still going to be able to go to court. There's ways to protect yourself in contract through escrow and through third parties and so there's still going to be roads, air traffic control. The Canadians have already privatized air traffic control, and there aren't planes falling out of the sky in Canada. And so when you take a look and just think of the government as just a monopoly provider of goods and services, you're still going to have mail that FedEx and UPH and DHL, they'd love to deliver first-class mail, but the government says, no, you guys can't do that. Only we can deliver first-class mail. And so that would make everything, more efficient. Now, but it would be expensive if they did it. Well, no, it wouldn't, because there would be real competition, and the U.S. Postal Service has lost over $58 billion over the past decade. And so you're not really paying cheaper prices to ship stuff at the post office. You're just paying for it in a different way by having to pay half your income in overt taxes, covert taxes, and inflation. And when I say overt taxes and covert taxes, most people, they understand how they're getting robbed with respect to the 1040 and the income tax. most people don't really realize the extent of how they're being robbed by all the like little taxes and fees. And so I'll just go down a couple of them, you know, like right here. Every time you get a gallon of gas, you're paying 43 cents a gallon. Every time you get a beer or a glass of wine or a mixed drink, you're paying excise taxes. Every time you pay your telephone bill, your cell phone bill, every time you pay your cable TV bill, every time you get an airline ticket, every time you get a rental car, you know, every time, you know, we go down the list. I always give the example that, you know, I took a trip to London a couple of years ago. The ticket that was a $1,200 ticket. The ticket itself was $400 and there were $800 in taxes and landing fees and airport fees and, you know, 9/11 fees and everything else. And so, you know, a lot of people, they never, ever look and see what the tax breakdown is on their, you know, $500 airline ticket. But when you really like dig into it, you're like, oh my God, we're getting raped by the government. And imagine all that went away. The other thing that most people don't realize is, you know, we talked briefly about, or, you know, how the government allows these banks to create money out of thin air, even though it's inflationary. And even though it's stealing the value out of everybody else's money. Everybody here has spent their entire life watching the dollar lose purchasing power. Absent the crooked monopoly money system, everybody's dollars would buy more and more each year. If we had a stable, non-inflationary money system, then everybody's dollars would buy more and more each year as innovations and productivity improvements reduce the costs and the cost of producing and distributing the necessities and luxuries of life. And so everybody would be dramatically, dramatically, dramatically wealthier if this organized crime system wasn't robbing them and waging economic warfare against them. And that's really what, you know, part of what the COVID and the lockdowns is, is they don't want you to have, they don't want you to be well off. They don't want you to do good. They don't want you to be financially independent. They want you under their thumb because that makes you easier to control. And so think of one of the other things that they accomplished with the COVID and the lockdowns is that they're bankrupting mom and pop businesses, independent businesses, because they don't want people to have independent wealth. They want people to be poor and dependent, not on, you know, independent businesses. They want them to be dependent upon the bankers, monopoly cartel companies, and chain stores, to where they're dependent on their job and they can be fired if they don't take the COVID jab, or they don't go along with the mask mandates, or they don't go along with whatever the government is selling that day. They want people to be tax slaves working for these monopoly corporations. And so the reason that they're monopoly corporations is if you give banks the ability to create money out of thin air, they've gone ahead and they funded a handful of companies with unlimited capital to buy up and consolidate their own industries in something that is not true capitalism. It's something known as crony capitalism. And in a free market, you just would not have seen this level of consolidation of industry, where it's fascism. Fascism is the merger of corporate and political power. And so it's the monopoly corporations working together with the organized crime government to suppress wages, to keep you poor. They're the ones that are taking the money out of your check and giving it to the, you know, giving it to the federal government. And so it's a merger of corporate and political power that you would not see if there wasn't government. And so once we get government off of our back, then you're going to see the economy bloom. You're going to see opportunities go crazy. Now, I'm not saying there's not going to be a transition period, and I don't want to have to, you know, I hate to break it to people, but this has been a Bernie Madoff level Ponzi scheme. So the Treasury market is a Ponzi scheme that makes Bernie Madoff look like a piker. I mean, you know, that this there's no way out. And I think that they understand that that is happening. And so now they're trying to blame the rising prices that, you know, that inevitably happen when you create trillions of dollars out of thin air on cyber attacks. And so the cost of meat isn't going up because they have stolen the value out of the dollar, and it takes more rapidly depreciating dollars to buy the same amount of meat. The cost of meat is going up because of cyber attacks, and the cost of gas isn't going up because they've allowed these banks to steal the value out of the dollars that you earned and saved. The cost of gas is going up because of cyber attacks on the Colonial Pipeline. And so the cyber attack is also going to be used as the excuse to turn off the internet as more and more people discover how they're getting robbed by this organized crime system. The more and more people discover that government is illegitimate on its face, the more and more people discover that COVID has been a hoax, the more and more people discover that more people are being hurt by the shot than by the quote unquote virus, which may or may not even exist. And so that's, you know, that's what's going on. Those are the key things that people need to understand. Number one is government can never be legitimate. You can't have government. We cannot, when this thing collapses, we cannot rebuild with government. We cannot give people in Washington, D.C. the opportunity to do it all again. The other thing they need to understand is that there is a man behind the curtain in the monopoly media. And so, you know, once you realize that, yes, they control every channel and every channel is distraction and deception, then you're already kind of ahead of the game. And so these are kind of like the two pillars: is you've got to understand that the media is controlled and you've got to understand that government is illegitimate. And I got a really, really good book at Government-Scam that will take you on, you know, if you're not familiar with this, I can take you from 0 to 60 in the shortest amount of time by using visualizations and using, executive summaries. Or if you've been trying to explain it to your friends and your relatives and you just haven't been able to be successful, then I've got a really sharp tool that can help you take somebody from 0 to 60. And because they can see it with their own eyes, they're going to come to that moment of insight much quicker than if you just tried to explain it to them.
That's awesome. Now, one of the most concerning things that's going on right now, and you mentioned it earlier, is the censorship. And we, you know, with us content creators and independent media having to play whack-a-mole with platforms trying to get the information out there because they're either deplatforming people, just deleting them, or censoring them, shadow banning them in some way. This is, I think, going to be one of the harder things to overcome when it comes to getting this the truth out there and the message and spreading this around. What do you think is the answer to this?
So, you know, I mentioned, you know, I'm the author of Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed, but I'm also the founder of the Art of Liberty Foundation, and we're a startup think tank that is looking to widely expose the illegitimacy of government and the criminality of government. And what we think that the only way to get around the monopoly censorship of the media, the monopolization of the media, and the algorithmic censorship on the DARPA internet is what we call a brute force attack of going door to door in a single state. So you've got to achieve something called the 100th monkey effect, where, you know, everybody in a particular area kind of comes to an understanding of something, you know, almost simultaneously, because enough people have, you know, grasped these important concepts. And so when I wrote the book, I actually designed the book to be able to be left at somebody's house with the flash drive full of the evidence and a documentary and a kind of little note explaining, hey, you know, let me tell you what's going on. We've got an organized crime system and they've been controlling the information that you receive. This book will explain it to you, backed up by all of the evidence on this 16 gigabit flash drive. And we're having a town hall meeting next week where we can answer any questions that you have, and you drive people to town hall meetings. And so For about $1 million, I could put 100,000 copies of the book, 100,000 flash drive, 100,000 documentaries, and do 36 town hall meetings in a single state. Now, the state that I think would that be the easiest to achieve this 100th monkey effect and to break out the, you know, monopoly censorship of the media is the state of New Hampshire. And so for those in your audience that aren't familiar with the Free State Project, there are a lot of libertarians and voluntarists that are out in the world, but the problem is that we're all scattered in 50 different states. And so in 2002, a young man named Jason Sorens wrote an essay saying, you know, the thing that we ought to do is that we ought to take over a low population state, sub 1.5 million population. And he figured that we could do it with about 20,000 people, that you could take over, you know, politically take over a single state with about 20,000 people. And so in 2002, they had a beauty contest where they tried to figure out what state would be the easiest to take over. Who's got, you know, what state has a history of liberty and freedom? What state has a low percentage of the population that's on the government dole or, you know, working for the federal or the state government? Which legislature would be the easiest to get people elected to? And, you know, and so out of that, New Hampshire won. And the deal of the Free State Project is everybody signed a statement of intent to move to New Hampshire. Once the total membership of the group hit 20,000, so you didn't have to move if they didn't get 20,000 people, but if they hit 20,000, then everybody has 5 years to move. Now, once they picked the state of New Hampshire, people began moving immediately, and those people were called early movers. And so the Free State Project has been on the ground in New Hampshire since 2003. There's over 5,200 members of the Free State Project now. They hit 20,000 people in 2016, triggering what they call triggering the move. And this is the last year that the members that are going to do it have to move under the kind of the agreement. And so people began, you know, people every single week, more and more Free Staters show up in the state of New Hampshire. Now, with 5,200 already on the ground, that doesn't sound like a lot, but these are actually committed activists who are willing to, you know, pick up and move. And so they've organized themselves. They've got into, you know, organizations that do, you know, in groups in New Hampshire that do everything from raiding the bills and the legislation that go into the New Hampshire legislature on, is it pro-freedom or anti-freedom? Some people put little mini libraries of liberty and laundromats. Some people have, you know, gotten work on school choice initiatives. Some people, if you move to New Hampshire, they'll meet you at your house with 30 people and help you unload and move yourself in. And all you got to do is provide the beer and the pizza. And so there is already a network that we could grow rapidly. Now, what we call our effort is the Pre-State Project, because what I believe is that the way to accelerate the growth of the Free State Project isn't getting people to move to New Hampshire, although I want to see that continue. The way to do it is to widely expose the illegitimacy and the criminality of the government, the monopolization of the media, the algorithmic censorship of the DARPA internet, by cutting through the, you know, this propaganda matrix of six companies running hundreds of subsidiaries on the old school media side and 2 to 3 dozen new media companies on the internet media side, by going door to door. And for, like I said, so $1 million, 100,000 people, and you don't have to win everybody. Okay. So, New Hampshire has about 1.3 million people. Of those, about 800,000 ish are of voting age. Okay. And vote and registered to vote. And so if you were to drop off 100,000, copies of the book and the flash drive and a documentary explaining what's going on, to, let's say, the parents of high school seniors, well, now you're getting at least three, if not four or more voting age, you know, voters in a single drop for $1 million. Okay. And so, also you don't have to win everybody, because one of the things that I learned working at one of the big four think tanks in my youth is that, there's really about 10 to 15% of society that really, really matter. These are the entrepreneurs. These are the business owners. These are the content creators. These are the bloggers, the vloggers, the clergy, the professoriate. These are the people that have extra amount of influence in society, the intelligentsia, these are the people that once you win them, the rest of society, you know, just kind of follows their lead. And so, you could take that 100,000 and using, you know, well known and well understood demographic, science, you could target the influential within New Hampshire so that you're going to have an oversized effect by exposing this to the, you know, to these culture creators, to the, you know, to the professoria, to people that are in a position to influence lots and lots of other people. And then, you know, once they move, they get everybody else. Now, here is the big idea, even if you don't want to move to New Hampshire or even if you don't live in New Hampshire, okay? If we can engineer the freedom of a single state and we can prove that you don't need government in a single state, okay, that is going to be impossible to hide from the rest of the country. And so what I think is if you're able to engineer either a peaceful secession of a single state because they're leaving because government is illegitimate and this is run by organized crime and it's impossible to hide that from the rest of the country, people are going to be like, what? New Hampshire's leaving? What's going on? And they're going to want to find out more, and they're going to want to find out what triggered the secession of New Hampshire. Now, even if you can't achieve political secession, what you can achieve is a level of peaceful civil disobedience where 10, 15, 20% of the population just quits going along with the government because they realize it's been a scam and it's been a trick. And then the order followers, the police and the military that have been put through unethically manipulative programs of, you know, the mandatory government school and the youth program, you know, where they were trained to caress the flag and hold the flag and treat it as a religious object, and that, you know, they were segmented from the rest of society. They had their head shaved and they were put into uniforms, the single form. Well, once the police come out and people laugh at them and go, hey, dude, I don't know how to tell you, but, you know, you're robbing your friends' neighbors. This is an organized crime system. And, you know, that's when we win. The population, when they refuse to go along with the order followers and the order followers then lose their power, then government can't tax you. It can't rob you. You don't have to listen to its edicts. And so I think that you could do that for, you know, $2 to $3 million over, you know, the whole program would cost about $2 to $3 million. And so that's what I'm in the process of trying to engineer, is let's free one state. So if you want to free California, free New Hampshire.
Now,
if you want to free New York, free New Hampshire. Let's get one state across the goal line and just prove that it can be done like the 4-minute mile. And then you're going to see the other states fall like that. The next easiest ones to free, by the way, are Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, Arizona. Those are the ones that I think would be next on the block. And if there's anybody that lives in those states and wants to do the exact same thing in those states, then, you know, give us a call at the Art of Liberty Foundation, government-scam.com/foundation. You can see the plan. You can see the budget at www.government-scam.com/foundation.
Now, I know you only have just a few minutes left, but I'd like to know, what reason did you pick those states in particular, starting with New Hampshire?
So all of those states, except for Arizona, have a sub 1.5 million population. And so for you to be able to achieve kind of the 100th monkey effect, to be able to, you know, we're spending $1 million to get around the algorithmic censorship is going to reach, you know, such a significant percentage of the population. That can really only be done in a small population state. All of those states have an inherent distrust and are all, you know, they're not dependent, you know, the people aren't necessarily dependent upon the welfare of the federal government. They all have, you know, relatively, you know, a history of being independent, landowning, you know, states. And so they've got, I think that they have the right climate and they have the right, you know, population to be able to, you know, to widely expose the illegitimacy and the criminality of government. And so those are the ones that I think are the easiest to get.
Unfortunately, Etienne had to leave abruptly. He had a little bit of an emergency. We're pretty much at the end anyway. I was just asking him if he had any more upcoming events. Just check out his website for more information, understandingyourslavery.com.